Coffee on a Sunday night, toast overdosed by caffeine. Sleep seeps away from me yet again. Tea bags on a shoe, drink from her relief, I flow into a hollow cup. A busy wife, mother, other, finds a friend, a stranger. Offers tea, warmed by blood, mother and stranger convert. Ideas flow from this creation. Exciting personalities disappear. Soon. Busy wife, mother, other.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Laura. Start turning up. How was your shirt? Didn't say that. Next up, could we please have Mr. Jerry O'Neill?
I can still feel the chill pain of fingernail and flesh at that intense microsecond of deliverance in a featureless hotel room that could have been anywhere. Afterwards, we felt a little awkward, both unaccustomed to casual encounters. You blamed jet lag, but said you were still glad. I said I couldn't believe my luck to be stuck behind you in the stationary queue in the transit lounge of the featureless, fog-bound terminal that could have been anywhere. It took me 5 minutes to muster up courage to open conversation. Then we loudly complained as they're on the queue of the absence of information from the information desk. Through sludgy fog, we shared a courtesy couch, a courtesy coach. And then, as a courtesy, I offered to carry your bag to your door on the fourth floor of the featureless airport hotel that could have been anywhere. We had a drink in the bar, only one, you couldn't blame the drink. You told me where you were going, but not where you were coming from. Wrong way around. You told me where you were from, but not where you were going. You never asked if I were married. I wasn't, of course. In the sun-glazed morning, we bent for goodbye. I went to fly in different lines to separate lives. But I wonder if you, wherever you are, sometimes think of that fog-filled night long, long ago, in those halcyon days before making love had become a health hazard, when we shared a room on the fourth floor of a featureless airport hotel that could have been anywhere. And we lay in a motionless, oceanless space where we can never, ever be again.
Next up to the open mic, we have Mr. Gene Barry.
Oh, the fair height.
First poem here tonight is a poem called Clothesline. It's a poem for, I suppose, for all separated fathers. When I separated 11 years ago, one of the things that hit me was the loneliness of a childless clothesline, looking up and down the path and seeing families washing, hanging out, and then your line that was your own. But anyway, it's called Clothesline. I would walk to my gallows once weekly and feed the rope with single men and witness the gawking families unilaterally waving the many colours of unity's insults. They would do it without moving or speaking, without even knowing the pain they had infused, marrow-bound, a line of useless groans out of sync with family matters. Us was parked in every garden that wasn't ours, dancing all day in wind that ceased to live in what seemed to be the only lifeless garden. Rainbows of stories sticking out their tongues. We never did the feeding of the nylon, nor the retrieving of the tens. Eyes set down on conversations at both boundaries that were linked to what we knew now as a family. Everybody beyond our ditches seemed to gel with the laughter of coal bunkers and barbecues, to continue the unfinished over the flattened icons that wave them inside their capitals. Thanks. This one is called Pope's Key, as in K-U-Y, from something that happened back in 1980. And this is for the memory of Peter Barry. Pope's Key. It was a time of babies, and a baby brother's time. I sat near you on Saturday night and glanced at you regularly as you slept in the basket your two older brothers had seasoned for you. A week earlier, in my non-parenting innocence, I bought three jumpers in Mother Care in Oxford Street. Yours, a mile too big for your tiny three-week-old frame. They're from my nephews, actually, my brother's boys. I was a fierce, proud uncle in this world I lost in regular daydreams on the flight home and in the dribbles of conversations I bored so many people with. The front row, Grandad called you. I saw you held between a sandwich of DNA, binding, crunching, the three of you engaged as brothers should. I didn't see the bewilderment in your father's helpless face as you carried your white cross. I didn't know that I would walk you along Post Quay and wonder if he would catch an invitation and I, a non-swimmer, shitting myself. That I would stand at his shoulder and listen to the doctor tell him that nobody knew why you drew your last breath.
Thank you, Dean. Next up to the microphone, we have Brian McElroy. Brian.
Of our body, live in perfect harmony with each pasture that surrounds us.
to that which underlies every moment in our lives. To that which allows me, say, poetry, in front of my two sisters and all my friends. To that, we should be grateful. Next up, I think it'll take it to you. We've got a double act. It's Fire to Win, Fire to Win.
Barmaid overheard, or is it? I wasn't even looking, or even on the pole.
You look for what, mate?
I just happened to have had my hair on my nails done.
Say to her after what book tonight is.
I wasn't going to drink, as I was on my cabin soup diet.
It's not a neat idea, even cheaper than drinking.
Well, all I was interested in was dancing the night out with my girl.
You were hanged, bud.
I could see he was looking at me, quite perspicuously.
Are you sitting on the
bed? I just he was so intrigued.
He's wondering if Hermes is going to join him.
So I decided to get him to come to me, eh?
Whoa, that one's crossed.
Oh, he's coming over. My heart skips. My stomach starts to flutter.
I start walking towards Jack. The frosty one lunges at me. Well, they think it was me anyway.
I said to him, I knew you were eyeing me up so, and you so want me.
Jesus, sorry, love. I do like your friends, though.
Thanks for being a bar, you ladies, for a drink. Next up, we have Patricia Rose.
Hello there. Alright, this first poem I have is called Morelli, and Taste Dry Grew Up. And the most distinguished feature in that part was in that and Abbey, 35 times Templars in 1999, and also the big castle there, which you can see on the left-hand side, between the traveling to Narrow Park by train. So, peeling on my cold leather jacket, I face the sun and go earthward, being navigated by the alley, by the gilded history. The scaffold aside, the structures represent the glorious clay, the floor genius of wood and stone, tucked out with the delight of a crow, saving the eyeballs of the condemned. Even as everybody comments on the view from Castlemore Barracks, it is only up close that the crack yet to appear, and they will never realize the pride that I love history until the old history collapses. Thank you. I was caught there yesterday, and the two of the topics conversation were the vintage rally in Bantry, and they proposed amendments to Drink Rally laws. They thought they just want to get rid of them. They want to be dead, basically. And my friend of mine visiting, his father was driving a vintage tractor, and he had a little Titanic, where there was an ingenious French road on the back of it, and it goes like this. R.I.P. Rural Ireland. Gone are the days of crack cure and pint. If anybody drinks more than half a pint, a person can't drive home from the pub no more on a tractor, his car, or a 4x4. I guess.
Thanks, Patricia. And next up we have Mr. Patrick Cotter.
Anybody here who remembers the Bodega Bar?
Yes.
Okay. This is a suite of fun set in Bodega Bar. It's in six parts. First part is private and hangs you out. A bonsai-sized angel lies asleep in my shopping bag, wings curled in on itself. Either a handsome she or a pretty young he. It snores heartstrings in no particular tune, but in a pleasant, calming hum which attracts a dusky, snub-nosed brunette from across the vastness of table 16. She looks from me to the bag and back, perplexed, slightly anxious. Her mouth opens to speak, but shuts soundlessly. She knows me not, and returns to her broadsheet's minuscule print with lessened concentration, nostrils flexing. I wonder what noise the angel makes when it awakes. It's been asleep since I bought it, along with a box of angel food. Okay, I'm going to double the length of time taken to read these, but I'm going to catch it. Thanks anyway. Homage to Duchamp. Not having drunk enough of anything today, I stand by the urinal, piss dark and dense trickling from me. Gone are the golden showers of youth when a stream would arc high into the air with all the force of a water cannon. Gone are the days of schoolboy pissing contests. Beside me stands a ghost envious of any piss at all. The ghost is a new ghost. This bar is only 10 years old. But already he's old enough for me to sniff at his outmoded fashion sense. His serpentinely thin leather tie, his ballooning baggy trousers, everything permeable as mist. I step through him on my way to the hand basin, hoping I'll have somewhere nicer to haunt, something more congenial to be envious of when I stop pissing forever. Freud used to perpetually have a cigar in his fingers. And we all know what Monica Lewinsky made of cigars. Freud is quoted as saying, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. So to speak, because sometimes a Freud is just a Freud. There used to be a wooden sculpture hanging from the ceiling in the bodega, and a couple of times it split in half. There is a beechwood diver over my head, fissuring from ass to crown. Chains attached to each foot hold her to the ceiling, but cannot hold her together. This is the second time she started to fall apart. Some years ago she split in two. Each side twirled around, turning its back on the other. The left side had no idea what the right side was up to. I could sit somewhere else, but I liked from my angle of view the placement of the triangle of her nose in the valley of her breasts, and I know it won't last much longer. Her outstretched hands are facing hockey sticks, geometry and symmetry, fisticuffing sculptures, mistaken intention. Four, Richard Brosgan moment. Are you writing a new poem? Said the Japanese girl, her hair shimmering like a dark, undiscovered continent. I'm trying, musing over odd, vacant imaginings, distracted by the jungle beast, the bar's soundtrack, which shakes the potted palm leaf by my side. I'm trying, I say, about the underfed baby's wails. Sometimes the words come more easily here than in the silent room. The indiscernible voices, multiple exhalations, clattering of glass and cups, if not inspirational, are at least companionable, making the great trek through the word belt less lonesome. Maybe I should have said all this rather than just, I'm trying. What I said turned her round like a self-correcting Sony robotic puppy hitting the skirting board. Free Wi-Fi. Every little corner of her face, framed by the edges of our laptops, is perfect. Having studied her full face too long, without being able to talk to her, my heart is sore. So I take portions of her face, rearranging the margins of the laptop like a set square. Her unplucked brows are like social strokes over narrow hooded eyes, her mouth the crevice between two wine-stained cherry petals. Her nose is rich, higher than average for her race, straight as a sword. Her jawline sharp enough to cut the souls of men who cannot hold it. And finally, mistaken for August Strindberg. The Swede who brings me my drinks is as personable as she is pretty, until I ask her out. "Where would you take me?" she snaps suspiciously. "Not far," says I. "We could go as far as the upstairs bar." "The green room?" "Yes, or the white room," says I, hoping variety of choice would lead to assent. "You know there are 237 other bars in this town." "Yes," says I, astonished at her encyclopedic knowledge, "but all without you, an angel, a ghost, and a shivering beat to a diver." She looks at me as if I had two heads, or at least as if the one head I had was made of reconstituted wood shaving. "You know, I used to think you were nice," she said, before turning on her heel with a graceful wave.
Thank you, Pat. Next up, we have Erin Lewis. Erin?
I've been doing something new for this fight. I've been chopping trees. I have wrestled with an alligator. I mean, tussled with a whale. Handcuffed Latin throw thunder in jail. That's bad. Only last week I murdered a rock. Hospitalized a stone into the brick. I'm stoned, you know, making medicine sick. Last night I cut the ladder in my bedroom. Hit the switch within the bed before the room was dark. Oh, you chumps are gonna see what I'm doing. I know you got the man sick, but the man is in trouble. I'm gonna show you how great I am. Ah, Lee, bring my ear.
Something different, tell you that.
Write me a poem, paint my portrait, run wild in the abyss of creation. Light is far from bland. See the lion chase the buffalo with grace and precision. Let this pen unfold the vast memories of my heart. Festive experiences on Inishbofin off the west coast of Eire. Deep green islands coexist to form the land we stand on, the crashing foam of the shouting ocean, leaving me lonely still in the evolving, flowing experience of life. Another fibrous plant. Prosperous opportunities spring forth in the age of realizing dreams. Lulls and poetic souls run free. Shining beams christen my face, my love of life, the expression of the moment in its purity. Colors spring forth. Turquoise, violet, and magenta sing out the colors of day. New developed experiments of the worldly order, cranes, combine harvesters, bulldozers, attack the scaffolding freedom of the innocent. What will we do? What will we say? Where do we go? Maybe it's time for a revolution. And this is another five words from, I don't know how I've ended up on that, but anyway. Let your heart sing out keep out its wisdom, take your chances when they come. Crystal stars shine in the blackness of light, of night. An ocean of worlds collecting together in the abyss. Go at your own pace. Choose your own daffodils, paint it. Let tears wash your face and feed your soul. The hands that make the bread with loving tenderness also cradle the baby in swaddling fabric. Growth an animal of beingness and rich care notices the sudden moments that echo out in the memory of trees. With your eyes, be a witness to the changing fortunes of time. Take care in your steps. It's later than you think. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Does anyone else want to get on to the trip tonight? No? Joe, you sure? Yeah? Okay. Yeah? What's your name?
Mary.
Okay, no one else? Okay. Next up, we've got Mr. Joe Harvey.
Falling backwards and over the relation with that swim. I struggled with my ball, it was black and there was no ball. The current corkscrew and you were a magnet, but I remained glued to the bank and thinking, how would she understand? I was scared and thinking. I awoke with sweat cascading the stone stream. To find that it's a boy laughing in a stream. And Jennifer was talking tonight about them robbing words. Gordon Wilson wrote a statement about his daughter dying for 10 years ago, moment. I robbed the word. The spell last word. Hold my hand before I go, then I know our love will fuse. Speak my heart. God is good and we shall meet again. But now I know there has to be a plan, another place where we can start. So hold my hand before I go. Then look for a purpose. There will not be one. Like there is in beauty and in all art. And God is good, and we shall meet again. I bear no ill will, but look around and scan the broken bodies and lives torn apart. Now hold my hand before I go. Then we shall meet in heaven without pain. It's all gone now. I don't see the dark. God is good, and we shall meet again. You are my sweet lass, and there is no heart for me to bear a grudge. So be alert, and hold my hand before I go. Then God is good and we shall meet again.
Thank you, Bob. And next and last up to the open mic for the night, we have Mary. Mary?
But we just, a few of us decided we'd go to the beach and kind of a well-deserved break, I think, for one of my friends especially. So it's just one of those lazy days and it's what I was that evening, so Okay, so the happy grin that comes in you, that sparkles in your eye, from time spent productively in loving that decorates your life. The serenity like summer seas, conversations that flow, lazy by a sense of achievement, but only personalities know. The instantaneous nostalgia lets the memories lose, the analgesic spontaneity internally pursued. The forgotten punctuality, the air is entirely yours, to drown yourself in freedom, the ultimate experience. Comparison between interest rates and mental states. Okay, so of mental states and interest rates, the similarity of the strike. They fluctuate continually from the environment to here society. They can fall to record lows, yet then hit all-time highs. The permanence of instability excessive but despised. And few predict with accuracy what imminently unfolds, the shock alone, be it good or bad, these damages are told. But there's hope in knowing that we learn from experiences to life. And there's always advice from professionals, even if it's difficult.